I'm Joe Townsend. I have a consulting business in the North Delta area in Mississippi. That's about 350, 400 miles north of here, about 60 miles south of Memphis, Tennessee. And I didn't have to fly in here like you all did. Here to talk about corn. Corn has kind of moved to the forefront, and we had our first experience with big acreages of corn this last year. Mississippi is a quite a bit different from the Midwest. Our average rainfall is 52 inches a year. We have quite a bit more rain. Our soils are alluvial soils in the Delta area in Mississippi, some of the finest soil God has made. We have lots of water. I put this in here to show you. I'm sure being from the Midwest, you may not have seen this, but this is kudzu. This is our alternate host for soybean rust. And I can assure you we have plenty of it in Mississippi. Lots of kudzu. A week ago today, I was out looking at a field of beans, see if it was ready to harvest. We put a lot of fungicides on our beans, and it's kept them green. A lot of times we have to put a defoliant on the beans before we can harvest them. And saw this little beast out there on the edge of this field. Just thought you might like to know that we have alligators in Mississippi. Also, there's a bunch of wild turkeys right there that we see quite often. A year ago today, I caught this fish about 50 miles from here. And there's my little boy with one he caught. But getting serious, there are three perspectives on the changes going from cotton to corn in Mississippi I'd like to talk about: economic, agronomic, and potential. In 2007, we produced 960,000 acres of corn in Mississippi. That would have been higher had we not had the freeze on Easter, which killed a bunch of it. The freeze didn't kill the corn, but when the sun came out, bacterial soft rot killed the corn graveyard dead, and a whole lot of it had to be replanted. We couldn't get the proper seed corn, so we were less than 1 million acres. On cotton, we went from 1,230,000 acres to 660,000 acres. 189% increase in corn acres. Now, there's a long history of corn production in Mississippi. Between 1867 and 1961, a million acres a year were harvested in Mississippi, with a high in 1921 of 3.2 million acres. Now, the way things used to be before we got tractors, everything was done with mules, and we used to have to grow 2 acres of corn for every acre of cotton, and the corn was grown to feed the mules. So we've been using biofuels in Mississippi for a long, long time. Mississippi has a huge poultry industry. Scott County, Mississippi has the claim, I've never been there, but they claim they got more chickens per square mile than any county in the United States. In 05 is the latest figures I could find. They consumed 160 million bushels of corn. Mississippi only produced 47 million bushels. We've got about 200,000 acres of commercial catfish production, and that uses a tremendous amount of corn also, and we have a few cattle, but not anything like you have in the Midwest. Basically, we're still a net corn importer in Mississippi. Now, what are our advantages in growing corn in Mississippi? Well, we've got lower land cost, lower input cost, lower freight cost. From Sioux City to New Orleans versus Friars Point, Mississippi to New Orleans, the barge cost is half. So we can get it to the port for a lot less money than you can from the Midwest. We have a tremendous amount of irrigation capabilities in the Mid-South, and we produce good yields, at least we did this year. And we have a much earlier harvest. The one thing in the infrastructure that you can see driving through the Delta now is a tremendous increase in the number of facilities for on-farm grain storage. They're going up everywhere. Now, historically in Mississippi, we've been growing corn, like I said, for a long time, but most of it is like you see right here. The corn is in the background and the cotton is in the foreground. We've been cotton farmers. And to be real honest, we wish to continue. We grew corn for basically two reasons. We have a reniform nematode problem, and we can get a lot of relief by a corn-cotton rotation for our nematode problems. Also, we increase our organic matter, and it's a good rotation with cotton, or soybeans for that matter. But this year, the corn was in the forefront. We had to change. Instead of doing basically all cotton, we had to become a corn consultant, which we weren't very good at, and also had to learn to be a consultant for wheat. We grow pretty good wheat in Mississippi. This particular farm right here had about a 85 bushel yield. This was some grain sorghum that we planted double crop behind wheat. Was not necessarily a good plan. We thought it sounded excellent at the time, but over 100 degrees every day in August sort of put the damper on that. Our cotton behind wheat, though, was extremely good, especially where we were able to plant it ultra narrow row. We also grow an awful lot of soybeans in Mississippi. We just are going to break the yield record for soybean production for Mississippi this year. This particular field right here of beans, the guy had 82 bushel average, and after his basis, he didn't sell them but for $9.97. We don't often do that in Mississippi. Y'all being mostly from the Midwest, I thought I'd show you a little bit about what cotton looks like. To me, it's an absolutely beautiful crop. We have an awful lot of irrigation, as I spoke of, in Mississippi. About half of our ground is irrigated with pivots, and the other half that's irrigated is irrigated furrow irrigation. Here again, these are cotton plants. You can see the bowls on them that make the cotton. It's a beautiful crop. The agronomic considerations for corn. Now, when you plant cotton next to corn in the Mississippi Delta, you're asking for some serious trouble with your cotton. Tarnished plant bugs, southern green stink bugs, brown stink bugs love corn. But they like to leave the corn and go to the cotton field. We had an awful lot of cotton fields. We had to spray between 12 and 15 times for tarnished plant bugs and stink bugs this year, due to what we were planting on the corn. Right now, with my growers, we're going around and we're trying to help them decide, don't put corn here if your neighbor's going to put cotton, and don't put cotton here if your neighbor's going to put corn, and trying to get neighbors to work with neighbors so that we don't have an awful lot of interface between corn and cotton. This is my crew talking about corn with these guys. When we're in cotton, I can see them all the time. We're on the farm. I know where they are. I can see them. But I will tell y'all, when you go to corn, I don't have a clue what they're doing. We didn't lose any of them, but we came pretty close sometime out in that tall corn. Okay. We didn't have any trouble harvesting the corn. We thought we would, but we didn't. We grew no aflatoxin, which we were very worried about. One thing we do in our production is NDVI images, variable rate applications of fertilizers, chemicals, whatever. We've got a Varis machine that we're right now doing some variable rate fertility work on. It's neat to have the little nav man with the map on it. You can walk around out in the field, and you're a little red dot on that thing. You can watch yourself walking and make your determinations of what you do in the field. There I'm writing some variable rate prescriptions for cotton defoliation. We talked about the fungicides. The only fungicides that we recommended and used on our corn were where we had rust. There's some tremendous variation between the susceptibility to rust in our corn. With the non-susceptible varieties where we did not have a problem, we didn't put any fungicide. And I didn't see that we gained anything by using it where we did, to be honest with you. But sometimes, no matter what you do, everything gets blurry. This is a problem that we noticed. Wild pigs, they will absolutely play hell with a corn crop. We need to, anyway, what we need better varieties. A lot of the variety charts showed that our ear height was going to be 40 inches, and we grow the corn in our ear height 7 feet. All the information comes out of the Midwest. It's not written or it's not done for us. It's done for somewhere else. We need management practices better defined for our heavy clay soils. We need the disease management research. We need irrigation management. I'm quite certain that I recommended more water be put on an awful lot of this corn than was really needed. We needed better sampling methods for stink bugs in corn. The political considerations. Our government, in its wisdom, has decided that the textile industry is better suited to China than it is the United States. Put about 250,000 Americans out of work in the South. Forced U.S. growers to try to market their cotton in China. Eliminated the Step 2 marketing program, which farmers didn't realize any money for, but moved our cotton overseas. We thought we knew where we were going. We didn't think we had our head in the clouds. But then some Midwest congressmen came along, namely Senator Grassley, and he's trying to put us all out of business. He's changing rules that have been in place for years, trying to further restrict marketing ability of cotton. This came out of, I know you can't read this slide, this came out of the Australian Cotton Grower magazine. The bottom blue line is U.S. cotton exports. That's about 12.5 million bales. Our nearest competitor is India at 4.25. We can sell our cotton overseas, and the foreign exchange dollars are grossly needed by our country. U.S. cotton exports are going down. Brazil and India are going up. There's no reason for that other than political reasons. This is a John Deere cotton picker. The new one cost $569,000. It's made in Iowa. This dumps it in there, put in modules. There are my kids in front of some of the newest John Deere model that makes the module in the field in a round bale. But maybe we can have some politics straightened out so that the smaller farmers can afford them, and maybe they'll make the changes before all the Iowa folks that work in the manufacturing place lose their jobs. And we'll have cotton and corn. For 08, we'll probably have less corn than last year. We'll have more soybeans and a whole lot more wheat. And the cotton planting will depend on what our government does in the new farm program. Thank you.